Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 16th of August, 2021. It's a Monday, another Monday in August, and it's going to be hot and humid and crappy and smelly, and Joe Biden isn't even in town, I don't think. I think he's off messing around in Delaware, not doing what, who knows. It's funny, it's no big deal when a Democrat takes time off, especially, you know, as a, you know, the military's collapsing in Afghanistan, everything's going to shit, and it's cool. Anyway, sorry for the swearing, it's just annoying. This jerk is president of the United States. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Welcome to the program. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Week in Evan Review at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. And sitting on my lap right now for the introduction is somebody who wants to do some talking with Daddy. It is, of course, Quinn. How are you, Quinn?
I am playing with my Elsa doll.
Yes, your obsession with Elsa is about the only consistent obsession you've had so far. You love Elsa. You don't like Anna.
But I do like her dress, but it looks pretty.
Okay, you like her dress, but you don't like Anna.
No, not Anna. Anna.
Annie. You like Annie.
I don't like Annie. I just like Anna.
But do you like... Can I have that Elsa?
No, that's mine.
All right, well, say hello and goodbye to everybody.
Hello and goodbye.
All right. Now, let's get on with the show. There are, of course, lots of things going on and plenty of things to talk about, controversies left and right. I want to, you know, I'm sitting there and what do I do? Do I start off with the border situation? Do I start off with masks and kids and COVID news? Or I go with Afghanistan. And it kind of, I'll start off with Afghanistan only to sort of illustrate the absurdity of starting off with Afghanistan, if you will. And bear with me, I'll make sense of it, I promise. Or at least I think I will. I'm formulating it in my head as I go. If you watched the news in the last 24 hours, the top story is about what's going on in Afghanistan. And it's a weird convergence of left and right sort of agreeing on this. I disagree with them, but the left and right media sort of agrees on this. They're approaching it very differently. If you watch conservative media, it is Biden's really screwing up. It's horrible what he's doing, and he's fumbling and giving the country to the Taliban. Okay. Now, if you watch the liberal media, it's horrible. The situation is screwed up. Joe Biden wasn't even in town that month. Joe Biden might as well not be president. They don't talk about it. But things are screwed up over there, and we really should do something different. We have to do something. What about the children of Afghanistan? What about the women of Afghanistan? That's one of the things that is now making the rounds amongst the left, although they're doing, like I said, they're doing their best to insulate Joe Biden from any criticism. This is his decision. He's the one who pushed back the withdrawal date to September 11th, which is just a bizarre, you know, there's, aside from like really, really, really needy people in relationships who care desperately about anniversaries, there is no group of human beings who love anniversaries than radical Islamic terrorists. They're still fighting things. They're seeking vengeance for things that happened 500 years ago. 500 years ago, something happened. So on this date, we shall then strike back against whoever. That's what you get with a 15th century mindset, I guess. But with that in mind, why would you have the withdrawal date for U.S. troops be September 11th? Go to the 10th, go to the 12th, go to the beginning of the month, go to the end of the month. You don't do it on September 11th. They're really their major only victory in recent times. Certainly their biggest victory in recent times. Why would you give them that? They can go celebrate what they've done, and they've chased fully exactly 20 years later. We have chased the Americans out of Afghanistan. Why would you give them that? I don't know why, but that's Joe Biden. I don't think the Taliban ever employed Hunter Biden, so I'm not sure he owes them anything. But then again, there's a lot of poppy money rolling around, therefore heroin money rolling around. So maybe Hunter Biden has his had his tentacles in that too, and therefore the Biden family, who knows? But it is the height of stupidity to set that date for that. Now, maybe Joe didn't know. Maybe Joe forgot. It's possible. And he just goes, you know, that September 11th, that date sticks out in my mind for some weird reason. Let's go with that. Maybe. But it's bizarre. That being said, the extra months that they had, because the Trump plan was to have everybody out by March, that gave the Taliban extra time to plan. And it gave the Taliban, again, the anniversary that they wanted, that they needed, that they crave, that radical Islam craves. And you're sitting there, and you're watching this unfold as more and more territory falls. They're controlling a majority of the country now. The only thing they really don't control is Kabul, but they're getting close to Kabul. And what's funny is we're now sending 3,000 troops back to Afghanistan, because the collapse is happening so quickly. 3,000 troops back to Afghanistan to help evacuate American personnel. And we're begging the Taliban, don't attack us, don't attack our embassy. We spent a lot of money. It's the most expensive embassy in the history of the planet. Tens of billion, I think it was $19 billion we spent on an embassy. And you go, how do you spend $19 billion on it? Pretty sure you could build the Empire State Building for like maybe $2 billion. Today, you'd never be able to do it because you'd spend 40 years doing environmental impact studies. But it doesn't matter. The cost of it, were you allowed to do it, would be significantly less than the Afghanistan embassy, which is not designed to house tens of thousands of people. By the way, it's not some giant complex the size of 15 pentagons, just the cost of 15 pentagons. And we're begging the Taliban, please don't attack us. Not, please don't attack us, you know, ever. Don't destroy this embassy. Maybe we want to keep a diplomatic footprint here or whatever. They're going, let us escape first. Let us escape first before you attack it. If you attack the embassy while there are still Americans inside, that is really going to be a little too on the nose for the Jimmy Carter analogies, right? It's Iran, 1979, all over again, if the embassy falls and Americans are taken hostage. So we're sending 3,000 troops back to try to prevent that. Now, what'll be interesting to see, because the Taliban, it's kind of, you had Ginger Goebbels the other day saying, well, it really depends on how the Taliban wants to be viewed in the on the world stage. They don't give a damn about that. But when you're sitting there saying, don't attack us, we're sending 3,000 troops in there to make sure you don't attack us, what are the rules of engagement going to be? If you can have, are we sending 3,000 troops back there in case the Taliban attacks Americans in the American embassy and presumably Americans who are outside the embassy in other places as they're getting ready to leave the country? Are they going to actually defend them if they're attacked? Or did we just send over 3,000 more potential hostages? Because if the rules of engagement are so stupid, that like they've been, so insane that, well, if there's a possibility that you might injure a civilian, you couldn't possibly fire back on these people. If those are the rules of engagement, we just sent 3,000 extra potential hostages. I'd like to think that even though the brass would love to suck up to the President of the United States, that seems to be what the military brass is good at. I'd like to think that the commanders on the ground, upon seeing Americans under assault, would go, you know what, fight back. I don't care. Protect yourselves and protect Americans. But with this administration, I honestly don't know that that would be the case. And that's not only sad, it's scary. It's telling, too, about this administration. Joe Biden isn't answering questions about this. He ordered the 3,000 troops to go over there. And then quickly, yesterday, or on Thursday, took a trip to Delaware again. He's on vacation. Don't bother him. He turned his cell phone off. He turned his, not the one that Hunter has the number for, but the one that everybody else has the number for. And what he is doing on his vacation is not known. Probably counting money. Probably lining up sales for Hunter Biden's art fair project coming up, whatever it is. Meanwhile, the people of Afghanistan, Americans clamor to get the hell out of Afghanistan. There are a whole bunch of Afghans who have worked with Americans clamoring to get the hell out of Afghanistan, too. And I hope they make it. I don't know where they want to go. We're probably not going to take them here because this administration barely seems to care about the translators who worked with the military, who have the real bullseyes on there. They don't seem to care about that. So some administrative assistant woman who is definitely going to be either murdered or married off, they don't care about her. So she's got to get the heck out of the country to another country to try to be able to enjoy the freedom that we have afforded them as their country falls under terrorist control again. Now, I am not a stay there kind of guy. I am disgusted, quite frankly, that the people that we spent years and billions of dollars training to be able to defend themselves can't or won't. I mean, I have to assume that they won't at this point. For the country to fall this quickly, you have to assume they won't defend themselves, right? It's like, I don't know that they could win even if they followed through on their training. Maybe they're just not that good, or maybe the training wasn't that good. I have no idea. But they should have, just by the sheer force of the equipment that we've given them, be able to hold off a force significantly smaller than them in size for a while, for a little while. Instead, they're abandoning their posts. The Taliban are getting armored vehicles, Humvees, everything you can possibly imagine. It's pathetic. And quite frankly, because they are claiming all of these heavy weapons that our Afghan allies have left behind, I frankly think we'd be absolutely justified in just going back and bombing the hell out of those pieces of equipment. Just go and aerial bomb them and take care of it. Send in some fighter jets, send in some Tomahawks, and blow the hell out of it. Kill some of them in the process. But Joe Biden doesn't want to do that. But it is a weird harmonic convergence of left and right, both complaining about what's happening in Afghanistan, seemingly trying to lobby for us to stay longer, for us to reverse course. Now, on Fox, it says no indication that Biden will reverse course. In the MSNBC, it is more about it's a shame, this is the military, this is what's happening, and it's just in general, it's a more general thing. They don't really blame Joe Biden. More the military failure. But it is a failure, and there's enough failure to go around. We should have been out a long time ago. And frankly, by these results, what would have been different? Why did we stay there 20 years? If after 20 years we're getting the same results that we would have gotten had we only stayed 20 days, maybe we should have only stayed 20 days. And it goes back to the simple fact that people everywhere do not want to be free. because they have no understanding of what the concept of freedom is. They have no understanding of what the concept of liberty is. So they don't want to be free because they don't know what it is. It's never been a part of their culture, a part of their lives. We assume that everybody just wants to be free. And it took us 20 years and, I don't know, hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars to learn this lesson. And judging by the coverage of it, we didn't learn this lesson. The people in the media didn't learn this lesson. And the military-industrial complex sure as hell didn't learn this lesson. Actually, they don't care about this lesson. There's a gravy train that is that's leaving. It's being decommissioned. And that's what Afghanistan is, the gravy train being decommissioned. And therefore, so many of those people who have made a fortune, who stood to make even more if this thing dragged out even longer, are the ones who are upset, and they are driving the coverage. There isn't a whole lot of honest reporting on this. There isn't a whole lot of honest interest in this. Most people look at what's going on and say, all right, well, stand up for yourselves. Do something. You're our ward. Some people, however, are upset. There is a woman, she's a deputy secretary of state. She's one of the deputies in the secretary in the State Department, Molly Montgomery. She tweeted this at 7:29 on Friday, 7:29 a.m., and then deleted it shortly thereafter because it conflicts with what the Biden administration's official policy is. Now, you can quibble with that all you want, but theoretically, this is one of those people who should resign on principle and make a big stink of it. But she knows that there's no book deal waiting for her if she does, because she'd be going against the Biden administration. She knows that there's no cable news contract waiting for her, because MSNBC and CNN would have no interest in her, and Fox probably wouldn't either, because they've got enough of liberals to meet their quota. But Molly Montgomery tweeted, quote, "Woke up with a heavy heart, thinking about all the Afghan women and girls I worked with during my time in Kabul. They were the beneficiaries of many of the gains we made, and now they stand to lose everything. We empowered them to lead. Now we are powerless to protect them." No, we spent 20 years and billions of dollars empowering them to protect themselves, empowering the Afghan men, who are supposedly the moderates, to protect those women's rights, those girls, from being basically abducted into sex slavery. If they're not willing to do it, why should we? Why do we have to? As if you say we have to stay because of that, for that reason, then we have to go just about every place else in the world because of that very same reason. Does that make sense to you? Do you want to be the world's police? Absolutely not. It's a shame, but all you can do is give them everything they need to stand on their own. If they prefer to flop over on the couch and not fight back, then that's on them. And you can feel bad for the women, for the kids, for everybody. But at a certain point, they did it to themselves. Maybe I'm just not a sentimentalist like so many. Couple other things I want to get to. And it's one of those things where you're sitting there and you're going, how am I going to talk about this? How do I do it without, you want to convey a sense of seriousness. But then you have to also convey the sense of absurdity that is the reality of the situation at hand. You have, we'll start in California, I guess. California, there's a guy named Scott Wiener. I didn't name him. Don't take it out on me. He seems to be taking that out on pretty much the entire state of California, whatever his parents did to him. Forever he shall be taking it out on them. He is the author of he's the one who wrote the law that basically decriminalized knowingly transmitting AIDS to somebody else without telling them that you're HIV positive. He's the one who got that no longer being a crime, because why not? Mr. Wiener is a gay man, represents parts of San Francisco, and he just doesn't care. And out in California, if you can make the argument, not rational human beings, but California doesn't have a lot of them, so it's really easy to do, that giving somebody AIDS is no big deal. What's the problem? What are you griping about? They should have probably asked and demanded blood work before that. Well, he was back this year with another beauty. This one is about transgender inmates in prison. Big problem, apparently. Not really. I can't imagine it's a big problem in prison, but they say it is. So he wanted to make sure that trans people could pick the prison they wanted to be incarcerated in, pretty much no matter what they did. Now, California, you could commit mass murder, 200 murders, whatever it is. Just go ahead, commit genocide, and they don't have the death penalty. So you go to jail for the rest of your natural life, and as punishment, you can demand that the state pay for your sex change operation. Yeah, that'll learn you. That'll learn you. So, yeah, anybody who goes in prison pretty much for anything, you're in for 1 year for unpaid parking tickets. And now you declared yourself to be a woman. Okay, and you want the state to pick up the tab for your sex change operation rather than, say, I don't know, waiting 6 months or 3 months when you're out of prison and you have to pay for it yourself. Makes sense. Makes you wonder whether or not some people are going to prison for short stints for that very reason, because sex change operations are kind of expensive. Well, Senator Wiener wants to make sure that if you're in there for life or in there for a very long time, not only is your sex change operation paid for, that's already taken care of, but that you, sex change operation or not, can be incarcerated in the institution designated for whatever gender you happen to feel like or declare yourself to feel like at any given moment. Now, granted, most men won't be running around going, I feel like a woman and I want to be transferred to a women's prison. Most men wouldn't do that. They have enough pride. They just wouldn't do that. But there will be some. There will be some people who do that. And I want you to listen to Scott Wiener say that one of his proudest accomplishments this legislative term is the fact that now women with, men, can now be put in women's prison if they declare themselves to be women, period, end of story. And he can kind of lets the cat out of the bag about how there's nobody going in the other direction, which is telling.
Senate Bill 132, that bill is about ensuring and helping the safety of transgender people, particularly trans women, but transgender people in general, who are incarcerated in our state prison system. I don't want to dismiss trans men because everyone, this is about everyone, but trans women in particular are automatically housed in men's prisons and are brutalized as a result, are very, very unsafe, just horror stories about how trans women are attacked and treated in men's facilities. And so this bill, which passed with overwhelming Democratic support from the governor and support from a broad coalition of civil rights organizations, allows trans people to be housed in prison according to their gender identity, not just their birth assigned gender, and try to improve their safety.
Yeah, it's their safety and concern. And, well, okay, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it's like inside the joint. I ain't ever been, but it's telling there that he's like, well, it's so that, to put it in basic terms human beings would understand, it's so that biological men, because the biological men who say they're women are treated poorly in prison with men, that they want them to go into prison with women because they're women. They're really women. They've earnestly declared it. Nobody would lie about that anyway. But if you really believe, if you are of the firm belief and the unshakable belief and really the unbigoted only belief anybody could have on the subject, that no one ever lies about this sort of thing, and that if a man declares himself to be a woman, then by golly gosh, that man ceases at that moment to be a man in any way, shape, or form, and is immediately and in perpetuity, unless and until they declare the opposite, is a man or is a woman. then okay, put the men into women's prisons. But, because then, you know, you and I are supposed to, are required to treat that man as a woman forever, or else it's some kind of hate crime. If you dead name that person, my God, you're a Nazi. But if a woman declares herself to be a man, it's supposed to be this exact same thing, right? We are supposed to accept them as a man forever, forget that they've gotten any. We have to say that doesn't matter, that doesn't indicate anything. You are a man. Now, California wants the men to be able to go into women's prisons if they declare themselves to be that, but they're less insistent about the women declaring themselves to be men going into the men's prisons. Now, why? If you believe, if you absolutely believe, as these people say they do, that the second a woman declares herself to be a man, that that woman is no more. That woman is now immediately transformed into a man. Then you have to put that man into a men's prison, do you not? Or, no, of course, they don't want that. Horrible things would happen. You can only imagine. Maximum security prison, putting women in there, whether they declare themselves to be men or not. Sooner or later, no matter how they present themselves, in the shower, somebody's going to pick up on something there. Doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure that one out. And then bad things would happen. Which then says to me, as just a layman, that despite what these leftists absolutely, positively, 100% insist is the case, that women become men simply by declaring it, and that's it. There's no nothing. Biology has nothing to do with it. Genitalia have nothing to do with it. That tells me that there is a difference between the two, right? Because if you believe that women can become men, you cannot house a man in a woman's prison. That would just be wrong. That would be outrageous. You know, it would be otherizing and denying that person's gender identity. Would you not be denied? Is that not like one of the worst crimes a human being can commit these days, or so we're told? Denying somebody's gender identity is akin to murder. So by not putting trans men in male prisons, you are denying those women who they are, and their civil rights are being violated. They need to be put in there. But they don't want to do that. Those men, quote unquote, don't want to go into men's prisons anyway. But the powers that be, and even the most tolerant among us, the Scott Wieners of the world, aren't calling for that. Why? Well, because there are differences between men and women. Stop asking so many questions. You start asking questions like that, and then you start coming to weird realizations, like this story from The Blaze. This is amazing. And this is a direct result of Mr. Wiener there. Female prisoners and women's advocates groups pled with the state of California not to implement a new pro-transgender law that would force state prisoners to accept biological males. The inmates and their advocates warned Governor Gavin Newsom and his administration that nothing good could come of it, citing fears of abuse, sexual disease, and pregnancy. In response to those concerns, the state handed out condoms and pregnancy resources. Why would you need condoms? What would just two women have, what use would two women have for a condom, I ask you, huh? Now, according to a leading liberal women's organization that opposes the pro-trans policy, one of the state's major women's prisons now has at least one pregnant inmate who was impregnated by one of the penis-bearing biological male transfers. How could that possibly be? How could one woman get another woman pregnant? Why, that boggles the mind. We must investigate this. Get me Ripley's Believe It or Not. This seems beyond the pale. Yet it's happening because Everybody could see this happening, for God's sakes. Yet we're supposed to pretend, and Scott Wiener is out there all super proud. I did it. We've got justice. We're not going to put women in men's prisons, no matter how much they insist they're men. And they don't want that anyway, because they know that in their heart of hearts, they're not men. But, you know, we're going to put the men who say that they're women in the women's prison in the name of tolerance. Just shut up and make sure that you register at Target or Walmart for the baby registry. Who could have seen this coming? Shocking bit of development, isn't it? Shocking. I hope you were sitting down as I told you that. Since we're talking about prisoners, this story's a doozy. Again, the compassion. You know, it's the penal system. It's not about genitalia. It's about punishment. A New Jersey inmate who was freed early because of the COVID-19 pandemic has been charged with murdering a teenager just 2 days after his release. Very efficient. Jerry Crawford, 25, was serving time for burglary when he was let out on public health emergency credits to parole supervision on November 4th, prison officials confirmed to NJ.com Wednesday. He has since been charged with the murder of Davion Scarborough, 18, who was gunned down in Bridgeton on November the 6th, just 2 days after Crawford got out of the Southwood State Prison. Isn't that lovely? Compassion. We must be compassionate. We have an over-criminalization problem. We've got too many people in jail. Yeah, most of those people in jail prove that they deserve to be in jail pretty quickly after you let them out. I want to play you this clip of President Biden talking about, well, exploiting children to reimpose mask mandates. Now, what you do with your child is up to you. I'm not saying anything, but that's the hypocrisy here and the tone. I don't want this. They're making this political, and then he goes and makes this political. The exploitation and the lying, just be honest with people. It just can't or won't be honest with people. Listen to sniffy, gropey Uncle Joe.
I know there are a lot of people out there trying to turn a public safety measure, that is children wearing masks in school so they can be safe, into a political dispute. And that this isn't about politics. This is about keeping our children safe. I saw a video and reports from a Tennessee of protesters threatening doctors and nurses who were before a school board making the case that to keep kids safe, there should be mandatory masks. And as they walked out, these doctors were threatened, these nurses were threatened. You know, our healthcare workers are heroes. They were the heroes when there was no vaccine. Many of them gave their lives trying to save others. And they're heroes again with a vaccine. They're doing their best to care for the people refusing to get vaccinated. And unvaccinated folks are being hospitalized and dying as a result of not being vaccinated. To the mayors, school superintendents, educators, local leaders who are standing up to the governor's politicizing mask protection for our kids, thank you. Thank you as well. Thank God that we have heroes like you. And I stand with you all, and America should as well.
You're all the heroes, exploiting the children, blah, blah. You're exploiting the children, Joe. You're exploiting the children. Listen to the experts. Don't listen to what you want. You let the state raise your children. Let the parents raise their own kids. I want you to hear this report from CBS and listen to how it's framed. And then I'll tell you what's wrong with it after this.
In a span of just 24 hours, three Broward County school teachers and a teacher's assistant have passed away due to COVID. This is leading to more teachers and other school leaders demanding masks be worn at schools. Also joining them in this plea are local doctors. So far, more than 800 Florida doctors have sent a letter to the governor demanding he repeal the anti-mask order.
Horrible situation. Four people dying in one school district or one county or whatever. It's terrible. Each one of them is sad and awful. But school hasn't started yet. What does it have to do with school? It's a coincidence that they would. It's like saying three McDonald's workers today in the state of Pennsylvania passed away from X, Y, and Z, and therefore We must take measures everywhere. They weren't on the clock. They weren't at the job. They weren't. It was their day off, and they died in a car accident. But, you know, still, stop asking questions and just comply. The left wants children masked. They don't have any data to back it up. But you could make a case, and a lot of parents go, you know what, I want the kids masked. Okay, then mask your kids. That's fine. It's the obsession with making everybody else do it. If it's so good for your kid, then just do it. It doesn't matter. If the mask protects your kid, then putting a mask on your kid means your kid's protected, right? Doesn't it? By the way, just to, again, very serious situation, but a reporter for the Daily Caller News Foundation, Andrew Kerr, pointed this out. Not to belittle anything, but just to give you the full perspective and see how this is being politicized. 40,396 kids aged 0 to 11 died in the United States since January 1st, 2020. 40,396. Horrible, tragic, every single one of them. Of that, since January 1st, 2020 till now, of that, aged 0 to 11, 197, not even half of 1%, died due to COVID. 197 out of 40,396. Now, how many of them had pre-existing conditions? We don't know. Tragedy, all of them. But you as a parent make the decision with the information, all the information you can get your hands on. The left isn't giving you all the information you can get your hands on for a reason. They want submission, period. End of story. You know, if that's your nature, that's your nature. And it's not the nature of everybody. So that's the situation that we're in. The people in charge are just barking out commands and trying to scare the hell out of you rather than trying to convince you. If they have the facts on their side, present them, and smart people will understand and get it and act accordingly. Smart people like me recognize that it's time to call it a day. It's Sunday for me, and I am just tired, ready for another week. I got to get some rest, get it in, and get this show on the road for another week. What a Monday it's going to be. Hopefully you have a great week. I'll see you. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.